listening to Central Time. I'm Veronica Rickert. Rob Farron is off today. Well, tomorrow, March 14th, is Pi Day. For the uninitiated, it's a fun day honoring the mathematical symbol pi, where people celebrate by, I don't know, listing as many digits in the number that they can, or, of course, eating lots of pie, which is, I think, the preferred method of celebration. While most of us associate pies with the sweet ones, apple, banana cream, we're talking about another kind of dish this time, pot pies. Savory meat pies have been around for hundreds of years, and they were once considered a delicacy. Anna Thomas Bates is a freelance writer who blogs at tallgrasskitchen.com. She also writes columns for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, Edible Madison, and Brava magazine. She joins us now to talk about the history of the pot pie and give us some easy recipes to try at home. Anna, thanks a lot for joining us.
Thanks, Veronica.
Well, Anna, what made you decide to write about pot pies?
You know, it's just a different spin. Everybody, just like you said, loves apple, loves cherry. Those are delicious and wonderful. But frankly, any warm, delicious filling with pastry is excellent, and it's nice to be able to have it for your dinner course.
And we've still got a little bit of that spring chill in the air. Is there a special appeal to having pot pies warm and bubbling and savory when it's a little cold still?
It is. It's the perfect time. We're not going to get into those hot, scorching summer weather for quite a while, so it's not a burden to turn on your hot oven, and it fills up your kitchen with delicious smells, and it feels warm, and it's really great on those chilly evenings.
Now, in your column in the Journal Sentinel, you talk about the history of meat pies during the Middle Ages. It's fascinating, a little grotesque, but interesting. Tell us a little bit about some of this history.
Yeah, times have changed a little bit. Back in the day, like in medieval England, pot pies would grace the tables of kings and queens, and birds were by far the most popular. And some of the strangest anecdotes that I read about were, first of all, they would put some sort of decoration on top of the pie to indicate what type of meat was filling it. And for birds, it was often an actual stuffed bird. So they would have a swan, a peacock, a pheasant, a large stuffed bird on top of the pie to indicate that that's what was inside. There's also some other fantastical stories of somehow, and I cannot for the life of me figure out how they did this, actually baked live birds into a pie so that when it was cut open, they would fly throughout the banquet hall, which sounds like it could go wrong so many different ways.
And the birds didn't die while it was being baked?
Well, my guess is they must have had to just put a cooked pastry lid over the top. That would be my best guess, but who knows. But they also cooked the birds, small birds, often whole, right into the pie. So the bones must not have been an issue back in the day, but they would actually have whole, you know, very small birds like partridges and even very small chicks baked right into a pie.
Wow. Well, call me crazy, but I'm kind of glad that we don't do pot pies like that anymore. Yeah. How have pot pies changed over the years?
You know, I mean, over recent times, it's still quite simple. It's a butter and flour thickened sauce with vegetables and a meat, and then a pastry lid. So, and it can really be as easy or as complicated as you'd like it to be, or as labor-intensive as you'd like it to be. But kind of the gold standard nowadays is a chicken pot pie. So carrots, peas, onions, a nice thick buttery sauce, and then a pastry lid on top.
Now, those historical pot pies you were just talking about, they sound like they were pretty elaborate and celebratory, fit for a king. Are pot pies these days, I mean, can they still be like that, or do they just run the gamut now?
You know, like I said, if you really go the whole nine yards and you cook your meat and you make your sauce from scratch and cut up all your vegetables and make your pastry from scratch, it's still going to be, you know, I would say a Sunday dinner affair. It's going to take some time to do all those steps. And it will be well worth it because your house will smell amazing and people can taste the love that went into that dish because it took some time to prepare. But you can also take some shortcuts that are still going to yield a really delicious dinner, but it's something you could do on a Wednesday night. And some of those shortcuts would be maybe getting a rotisserie chicken or pre-roasted chicken or meat already from the store. I still advocate that you can whip up biscuits or pastry pretty quickly, but if you don't want to do that, a really nice alternative is puff pastry. You can find puff pastry in the grocery store and look for one that has very simple ingredients, including butter, and then you're just going to roll that out and put that on top, and it's going to make things very simple and quick.
It's usually frozen, isn't it, puff pastry?
It is. It is, but by the time, if you get it out on the counter and unwrap it and let it sit there while you organize your other ingredients, it's going to be thawed enough that you can give it a few rolls and put it on top.
One thing about that history again, it seems like even when there were birds involved, meat involved in the pie, it was still kind of sweet. There were raisins or cinnamon or currants or something that sweetened it up. Is that legacy still alive in the pot pies we eat today?
You know, it's interesting how much our tastes have changed. A lot of the old recipes I looked at included not only dried fruit, but sugar as well. In the story, I included some bits of a recipe that actually had herring and sugar and raisins, and which just really sounds awful to me. But what that involved too is kind of the mincemeat of today. Some people still do traditional mincemeat, which is beef suet and then raisins and lots of dried fruits. More people just do the dried fruit now and actually get rid of the beef suet. But that's the closest you'd find today to find that really sweet version. But also, if you look to other cultures, in Morocco, there's the bistilla, which is a pigeon pie, but you can use chicken or squab or something like that, and they include raisins, and kind of that savory and sweet contrast on a simpler level can actually be quite nice. I could imagine the turkey and cranberry pot pie.
Huh. Have you tried any of those historical throwback ones, herrings and sugar, for instance?
I haven't been quite that brave yet.
Well, you talked about some of the shortcuts, because pot pies, they can be labor-intensive. What is the shortest amount of time in which we can pull off a decent pot pie at home?
So the skillet chicken pot pie with biscuit topping that I included in the recipe, or in the story, is actually a 30-minute affair, and I rarely claim that 30 minutes is actually the time limit. But if you're organized, you can pull it off in 30 minutes, and that's even with a homemade biscuit topping. If you used biscuits from a can, it would be even faster. But the biscuit recipe I included is so simple. It's from America's Test Kitchen, and they're geniuses. It was a really easy biscuit. You don't have to cut in butter. You just stir in cream, and the biscuits bake in 15 minutes while you're cooking the chicken breasts, and it actually calls for frozen carrots and peas, so you're not doing a lot of chopping, and onion is the only thing that you're chopping up.
Oh, that sounds good. And that one is up on the Central Time Facebook page as well. And that one, is it cooked, did you say, is it in a skillet or does that go in the oven?
It's in a skillet, so you start off on the stovetop, and you do your onions, your butter, your flour, your chicken broth, your cream, and you get that sauce going. You also cook the chicken breasts right in with it. You chop up the chicken breasts, and while you're doing all that, your biscuits are actually baking. So they're baked separately for this one, which is a little bit of a shortcut and a little different than a traditional pastry lid, but just as delicious. And then when it's done, you just put the, actually it doesn't even go into the oven, you just put the biscuits right on top and serve it that way.
Oh, that sounds good. And what about herbs to go into this? Which one, what would you advise for that?
You know, traditional ones are going to be things like thyme, obviously salt and pepper, but thyme is really versatile and is great with all those vegetables and chicken. Fresh parsley is always nice, too, near the end, but thyme is definitely my favorite.
And if you wanted to kind of mix up the traditional chicken pot pie that you're talking about with some different vegetables or different twists, what would you recommend?
Yeah, you could go a couple different ways. Since we're still nearing, you know, we're not into the full growing season yet, you could still use a lot of those root vegetables. Things like turnips and parsnips and carrots and rutabaga would all be really lovely in a pie, and they would bake up beautifully in the oven. Another thing that I mentioned is that you can kind of do a whole different flavor profile, and one recipe I saw, I didn't include it, but just in my research I saw a curried chicken pot pie, and they used coconut milk to thicken the sauce and some lemongrass and curry, sweet curry, and it just sounded really lovely.
Do you have a favorite pot pie yourself that you like to make?
You know, I'm a traditionalist. I really like the basic chicken, but I like it with a pastry crust. And you can mix and match a lot of these pot pie recipes, too. You can take the filling you like and either do a puff pastry, a biscuit, or a traditional pastry pie crust lid.
One thing I've liked when I've had pot pie is when I'm eating out. I don't make them often at home, once in a while, but I like it when people use mashed potatoes in sort of the broth. What do you think about that?
Oh, right in the broth to thicken it up? That's a great idea.
Yeah, you get a nice hearty spoonful of mashed potatoes. I don't know if it's still, I guess it's still a pot pie. What's the definition of a pot pie?
Well, I mean, where I've seen mashed potatoes used is spread on top and then baked, and then that's more traditionally called a shepherd's pie.
Okay, so mashed potatoes, maybe a little more leaning shepherd-y there.
Yeah, but still delicious, and I've seen people do it with sweet potatoes, too, which is a nice twist.
And our producer, Chris Molina, is sharpening his cooking skills lately. He wants to know, with the cooking part, can you puncture the top of the pot pie to check the temperature, or do you want to sort of leave it intact and let everything get nice and bubbly inside?
Well, you actually typically have some vents cut in there already just to let steam escape. So you know things are done when the crust is nice and golden brown, and you'll see the bubbling juices along the edges are coming up through those vents.
We're talking right now with food writer Anna Thomas Bates about pot pies in honor of Pi Day, which is tomorrow. And we'd like to hear from you on this. Have you tried making homemade pot pies? Do you try any interesting ingredients? And what about the time? Any labor-saving aspects that you figured out to make a delicious pot pie at home? You can call us at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or you can post on the Central Time Facebook page. You're listening to Central Time. I'm Veronica Rickert. We're talking with food writer Anna Thomas Bates about pot pie recipes to celebrate Pi Day 314. That's tomorrow. And we want to hear from you. Do you have questions about how to make your own pot pies? Do you have any non-traditional ingredients in your dish? You can let us know over on the Central Time Facebook page. It's 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or again, you can check out a recipe and post your thoughts on the Central Time Facebook page. And we'll go to our callers now. Tom is joining us first in Janesville. Tom, hi.
Hi. Well, I was calling about New Zealand and Australia. New Zealand and Australia eat more meat pies and pot pies than any other countries in the world. And when I was traveling down there, I learned to make them, and I make them yet here. They're, 3 or 4 inches across, and they don't do hamburgers down there or anything else. Every place you go, from a gas station to a cafe to a restaurant, what people buy is these little pot pies, meat pies. And they make them breakfast varieties with cheese and egg and sausage or bacon. Of course, down there, bacon is any kind of pork. I even ate a possum pot pie while I was down there.
Really? Wow. How was it?
It was very good. Very good. And so they have a variety of gravies and a variety of types. But, I mean, there, they don't have hamburger stands. They have the meat pie stands, and that's what you eat for snacks. And so I do them here with a puff pastry. Works great. Just use a little circular cutter, and you can buy these little metal tart pans at the kitchen stores, and that's what I make them in. And I'll make, a couple dozen at a time of different types, breakfast types and that, and then freeze them and then put them in the microwave whenever I want one.
Oh, that sounds great and super convenient, too. Tom, thanks a lot for sharing that about the New Zealand pot pie tradition. Sounds like it's going gangbusters in New Zealand. And Anna, what do you think about making sort of individual versions?
That's a nice way to do it, and I'm guessing what Tom is talking about is it sounds maybe like it's a hand pie, like you fold it over and seal it together, so you probably don't even need a fork for that sort of pot pie. And those freeze really nicely, and it is a nice way to, you can pop it right in the oven and really eat it without a lot of fuss. But if you're not going to make them individually like that, you can, if you have an oven-proof, like a 2-cup oven-proof bowl, you can have a couple of those, 4 to 6 of those, put in about a cup and a half of your filling, and then drape a square of puff pastry or straight pastry over the top and bake it that way. So you can do individual servings in a bowl, or you can do hand pies like they do in Australia.
Do you think you could make them in muffin tins?
Yes, you definitely can. And puff pastry is really nice for that. So you cut a square, you tuck it in, you put your filling in top on the top, and then you just fold over the corners. So it's not completely covered on top, but it makes a nice little individual package.
The portability factor is nice.
Yeah.
All right, well, thanks a lot for that call. And we're going to go next to Dolores in Kenosha. Hi, Dolores.
Oh, hi. Oh, you're talking about the individual ones in muffin tins. I have to speak up. Go to BettyCrocker.com. They have all those impossible pies, and you can do a ton of those,
okay,
which are great for kids.
Well, thanks for that idea.
It's a perfect size for them. But I've had a pie that I've made for about the last 10 years, and I started doing it after Thanksgiving, and I call it Thanksgiving pie. And, okay, I have I get the rolled out, the pie rolls. I didn't make my own thing. And I get those, and I said, okay, well, you need about 5 cups of ingredients.
And I bet all your Thanksgiving leftovers go right in there.
Yes, they do. And you got to measure it out, because you have, you know, when you take apart the turkey, well, you slice the nice meats and put them somewhere so that people can make sandwiches, which maybe you have, you know, like 2 cups of mashed potatoes and 1 cup of the green bean casserole, maybe some sweet potatoes, things like that. You don't try not to mash it together. You gently put it in there.
Wow, that sounds like a fantastic little Thanksgiving dinner reborn in a pot pie. What do you think about that kind of thing? We just sort of put some like-minded ingredients together from a leftover meal, Anna.
I'm a huge fan of mashing together all Thanksgiving ingredients any time of the year. And you could even go as far, if you didn't want to make the pastry, you could use your mashed potatoes on top, or you could use the stuffing on top and then add that gravy in there to keep everything moist. And that sounds fantastic.
Thanksgiving is the perfect meal to be doing that, because everything kind of tastes the same. Well, at least at our Thanksgiving dinner it does, because everything has sage in it. Are there other meals that would lend themselves well?
You know, I'd have to think about that. But I think any time you're getting complementary flavors together and you're adding kind of a rich sauce or gravy, you're going to have a winner. You know, if you have lamb and some herbs that go well with lamb and that gravy. The other pot pie that I featured in my recipe was a Sonoran beef pot pie. So it actually had a Southwestern flavor profile. We had beans and lime juice and bacon and cheese and sour cream, and then it had a cornbread crust on top.
Oh, so there's lots of different ways you can go with this. All right, we're going to go next to Dan in Superior. Dan, hi.
Yeah, hi. I'm driving down the road, and I hope I don't lose you, but I'm a big fan of savory meat pies, and I've experimented with them for a long time, and I appreciate some of the ideas, especially that the curry chicken pie, really great. Typically, when I make one, I will buy pre-made pastry, some puff pastry, and I'll make pie, so there's a bottom crust as well as a top crust. So it's not really a pot pie, because it's not made in a pot. It's made more like in a pie tin, normal, regular-sized pie tin. My favorite one that I make currently is little out of the box, but I like it a lot, and it's tongue and kidney pie. So I prepare the tongue, you know, in a pressure cooker, and I clean the kidneys and saute them up. I put them together, make a roux with potatoes, usually some carrots, onions, and then I'll make 3 or 4 of them, put a few of them in the freezer, and then bake them up at a later time when I can enjoy them.
Again, we're getting at the convenience factor here. Dan is obviously a big fan of pot pies. What do you think about his approach, Anna?
I love it. I love using interesting meats like that. It sounds very British and very delicious. Yeah, and it's a nice way to use some meats that might be tougher ahead of time, you know, a brisket or something like that. You can braise that meat ahead of time. You could even use part of that for its own meal, and then you could use those leftovers, combine it with a nice gravy or sauce and those vegetables and your crust, and you're going to have a great second meal.
And since we're coming up on St. Patrick's Day as well as Pie Day, 2 big holidays here, what do you recommend if we want to Irish up our pot pie a little?
Oh, I would do a lamb. Like a lamb shank, braise a lamb shank, pull that meat off, and then I would use Guinness as part of the base of my sauce. So you'd have a really rich gravy with that lamb. You could have peas and onions and carrots in there, and then I'd use a pastry top.
Now, since this is Wisconsin, I feel obliged to ask, does cheese have any place in a pot pie?
You know, anything goes in a pot pie, and actually the beef pot pie that I did have a layer of cheese just underneath the cornmeal crust and some cheese mixed into the cornmeal. Traditionally, you don't see it, and you don't really need it because that gravy is going to keep everything really nice and moist, but it is Wisconsin, so if you want to put some cheese in there, then go right ahead.
I suppose you could do a cheese sauce, something like a Mornay sauce.
You could. You could do a cheese sauce, or you could mix some cheese right into the pastry crust as well, just like an apple cheddar pie. You could do something similar.
And Anna, before we let you go, what would you say to someone who's hesitant to make their very first pot pie?
I'd say just go for it. There is, even if it looks misshapen and ugly, it is still going to be delicious. It's hard to screw up, and you put so much time and love in it that everyone is going to just be very happy that you made them a pot pie.
And what pie are you going to be celebrating with tomorrow on Pie Day?
You know, I think I make one of each. I'm going to do just the chicken and biscuit because I love that one so much, and my son loves the biscuits. And I think I'm just going to do, I have actually strawberries that I've frozen from the summer, so we might go crazy and do a summer strawberry pie.
Oh, sounds fantastic. Well, Anna, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you.
That was Anna Thomas-Bates, freelance writer and blogger at tallgrasskitchen.com with some tips for making homemade pot pies in honor of Pie Day, which is celebrated tomorrow.